What does Formula One racing have to do with clinical trials? I'm Jeff Stewart from Syneos Health Consulting. Formula One racing uses massive real-time data analysis to predict how to make cars faster, which cars will finish the race, and which drivers will stand atop the victor's podium. That technology exists. That technology is used today. And my guest on this episode is the first to bring that technology to clinical trials. I'm joined by Darren Coleman, General Manager of RX Data Science, a wholly owned subsidiary of Syneos Health. Turbocharging clinical trials next on the Syneos Health Podcast. Darren Coleman, welcome to the Syneos Health Podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you, too. You're working with RX Data Science, which is a wholly owned Syneos Health company. Can you just tell me what it is?
Yeah, so RX Data Science is a unique company that focuses on agile development of applications through data science as well as artificial intelligence. I like to refer to them as the secret company that can solve the problems that companies have with technical and innovative solutions.
Okay. And then we're talking today about something that is RX Data Science-y, but is not wholly from RX Data Science. It's something, again, with an X in it called KX Technology. This is something that I've never heard of, and I know that essentially nobody who listens to this podcast will have heard of it because we're the first ones to use it in pharma. What is KX Technology, and what the heck is the use case for pharma?
KX Technology, ironically, anybody that has a 401k shareholder, we have all used KX Technology. They are well battle tested, as I call it, in Wall Street, because they are the technology that allows you to understand the latest stock price. And they have been around for 31 years. And they specialize in high volume time series data, which is a mouthful. But the reality is, if you think about stock trading and prices, that's what they focus in, and what is that current stock price in real time.
And then when you say time series, there's a picture that's made by stock as it moves up or down or stays flat. And whatever training I had in finance really hated that kind of analysis because it was a little bit witchcrafty that the whole picture made some sense. But in this case, where you're trying to understand what is happening, that's just math. That is math, and they're doing the math right to say, what is the shape of this curve? Let's set aside whether or not the shape is sensible. What is the shape that a time series data is making? And am I understanding what is essentially the core of what we have to do and what we're getting out of something like KX?
Absolutely. They are basically making a more precise and timely response of the data estate that you have. Actually, if you don't mind, Jeff, I'm going to use F1 motor racing as an example.
F1 motor racing is not where I expected this conversation to go.
But it'll give you a good illustration because KX has been working with F1 motorsport teams for the last 8 years. And the two focus areas are actually trackside decision making as well as the wind tunnel engineering. And what they're processing is that each race car has roughly 160 sensors on it that is generating 100 readings a second. Now, if you think about through a single race, that generates roughly 6 billion data points. And what KX's technology enables it to do is for those race teams to make precise and timely decisions with the data, the 6 billion data points that are being generated in real time trackside.
Wow. That strikes me as being a really large signal to noise problem where there's a lot of noise, not just a lot of data, but a lot of noise. And you need to be able to find out what trends are real and what trends are fake. Am I repeating what reality might be?
I think that you're summarizing it very well. The reality is the fact that data generates a lot of noise and you have to distinctly swim through it to understand what's real versus what is noise. And the great thing is that in artificial intelligence, we have algorithms that test data. And this is one of the strengths of why we use KX technology, which is unknown in pharma. We're the only company that we are aware of that are utilizing KX technology to do this, is that there is a lot of noise in healthcare as well. And this is why we have chosen this technology. One of the reasons is the speed that it can process, as well as the ability to decipher and be able to examine the data in real time.
That's great. Why do we need real-time data in pharma? That surprises me, I have to be honest.
Well, if you think about the pharmaceutical industry, I have been in this industry for 30 years now. The pharmaceutical industry is a dinosaur in adopting new technology for right reasons, because the consequences are grave. We're talking about patients and patients' lives. But the reality of where these use cases can be applied in a very safe and a methodical way is around all the data that is being generated in healthcare. The life science industry itself is an embarrassment of riches of information. Every time you go to the doctor, they take vital signs, they write everything down, or even today, they're putting everything into your electronic chart. And then they order blood tests, MRIs, x-rays, and they're generating all this data. What happens in life science is all of this data is two elements. One is a reading of clinical value, as well as a timestamp. And that timestamp is what is so interesting to utilize, and why we've partnered with KX Technology to use this capability in order to look at clinical trials and clinical trial performance. Examine a clinical trial in the most elementary standpoint. It is all about time. How long does it take to perform the tests that are associated to the protocol of that clinical trial? Due to regulations globally from the FDA, along with the European Regulatory Agency, everything is time-stamped. And so we can now utilize that data in a very different use case, not just looking at how we perform the services of generating and delivering a clinical trial, but now we can take global trials and look at all the trials globally and understand and glean information from it.
I'm trying to understand that bit. I'll tell you where I am. This is a technology that is really well established, just not in pharma. It's top of the line, excellent at figuring out what a time series is doing, where something's out of control, when something's in control, when something's expected, when something's signal, when something's noise. All of those things it does well. It does it for stocks. It does it so fast and so completely that it's used for Formula One racing. Got it. It seems obvious that once you know that, that vehicle has to come over in pharma. We have a lot of data. And now I'm a little bit stuck. Clinical trials, yeah, we measure a lot. I'm still not getting what that means.
So let me dive in a little deeper to the clinical trial. We do clinical trials. They go through established steps by regulatory agency, and it takes years. It takes years, up to 10 to 12 years for a product to get approved. The most valuable aspect of a clinical trial, besides the patient safety, so let me say that first. So everything I'm going to say is not about the patient safety. Patient safety is paramount. But time is the greatest attribute that we're trying to manage. How fast can we do the clinical trial in a prudent way and maintain patient safety? And let me give you some examples of why I'm talking about this. When we do clinical trials, patients come to a study site, they go through the protocol that has to be done with the investigator. But we are aware that globally, 21% of sites never enroll a patient.
Not even one.
Not even one, which means that it delays the trial itself and it generates more cost in order to have additional sites, because you have to have enough patients in the study for it to be statistically significant. Well, what if we actually knew what sites had the probability or highest probability of being a non-enrollment site?
Before the trial started?
Before the trial even starts.
Wow.
So the key thing is understanding the behaviors that have happened in the past and being able to use those behaviors. This time, what I'm referring to is a site behavior. Are you going to enroll a patient or not? Now, there's different variables that could cause a site not to enroll. They might be doing many studies at the same time, and they just don't have enough people there to keep up with the demand of all their studies. Okay, it's overcrowded. It's a traffic jam like on an interstate. We can see before we even contact a site how many clinical trials are doing right now. Well, we've noticed that when they do 4 clinical trials at a time, they average 1.5 patients per month. But if they do 8 clinical trials at a time, one of the studies typically doesn't enroll any patients. Well, that type of data is known to us. And one of the unique use cases that Syneos Health has been examining is the probability of a non-enrolling site. And we've modeled this using 6 years of global trial data. We are 80% accurate in predicting that a site is not going to enroll a patient. So if we take that site out of the mix, saying, wait a minute, if that site's not going to enroll, we can actually speed up time by 44% by not picking the highest risk sites for non-enrollment.
That's amazing.
That saves cost to the sponsor. So now it doesn't cost them as much. It gets speed to the market. A product can get to the market faster because we are examining. The one other thing, Jeff, that I'll share with you, everybody would say, well, just go to your superstar sites. That shouldn't be that hard. Well, we looked at that. There are superstar sites out there, but there's no single site that enrolls a patient every time in the last 6 years. So every superstar site has been a non-enrolling site at least once in the last 6 years.
So are you saying, Darren, that yes, we can guess beforehand what these are, but there's also real-time monitoring, and that's what we have to do. We have to update this, and that's where we're getting the KX. I'm missing a little bit in why this is different from the insight, which you just pointed out before, and then had the solution that you just named, which you're saying also is problematic, which was just go with superstar sites. I mean, if we have the dream team, we win basketball games. There's also a problem. Has there ever been a player who had an off night? Yes, all of them do.
You're absolutely right, Jeff. But the difference here is that studies are fluid. Time is fluid. If you think about a phase 3 trial, it could take 2 to 3 years to complete a phase 3 trial. In our planning stage, even before that 3-year clock starts, we will pick out the sites that we believe will enroll patients. Fast forward 6 months, you're still activating your sites. All of a sudden, your situation has changed. It could be 4 sites that you had picked earlier in your planning stage are now at high risk of non-enrolling. This allows you then to say, wait a second, a variable has changed. Now there's better sites. Let's go to the better sites. So this is real-time data processing, not only in the current trial that we're talking about, this trial that's being executed. It's ongoing monitoring of the global trial ecosystem. It'd be great for a pharmaceutical company if no other competitor launches another clinical trial during the 3 years of their phase 3 trial, which we know is not true.
In fact, sometimes it's done aggressively to keep the patients on the drug that's being tested. For one, you would just as well have more patients in your clinical trial so that others don't get the same patients. It's natural.
That's exactly correct. So it gets to the real-time data consumption. And this is where I'm talking about large data amounts. One of the things that KX specializes in is large data. Just to throw out a few numbers, just for one of our solutions that actually does this processing for us, that we're able to run our environment to consist of 1 petabyte of data, which is huge. That's 1,000 terabytes. We're able to process that level of data in a single day and generate all the files that we need to run on one computer, one server, and support thousands of users all in real time. Why can't you do this with somebody else? We could. The challenge that we ran into is the fact that using another type of solution, one, the cost, the estimated cost was almost 50% higher than it is for us to run on a KX environment. Secondly, was time itself, in the fact that it took multiple days for the data to process instead of it being able to process in real time. So the decisions that we could make were delayed, and that cost time. We're aware of a competitor that's actually trying to do the same thing with the same amount of data, not as much features as we built into it. They have poured millions into this operation, and they're still not at the point that they can get it to run in real time. And this is why we chose KX as a partner, because 31 years of existence with Wall Street, they're well tested. And the real-time capability, and we're using only one example of non-enrollment, there's other use cases that we have examined as well.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those other use cases if you've thought through them.
Yeah, we do have others. We talked about the risk of a site not enrolling a patient. But actually now let's predict that we know that this site is predicted to enroll patients. At what rate will they enroll? That's the other big question. Typically, the industry uses an overall average from their experiences that medical professionals have done in different diseases. Great. That's real-time experience. What we have found is that we can actually predict the enrollment rate for a site and actually accelerate a study by 28% by picking the right sites and understanding that enrollment rate. More importantly, if you think about diseases, we've been talking about global site data. So let's drop a little bit lower. We have therapeutic classes like neurology or diabetes. Okay, then let's talk about actual indication level, like degenerative disorders, which is a disease in neurology. So what we've discovered is that through artificial intelligence and actually zeroing in on indication level, I'll test everyone's statistics class. If everybody remembers stats, area under the curve, we've seen that we can get area under the curve values of 0.81, which means that we're about 2.5 standard deviations of predictive power.
I followed up to this point. I'll tell you where I followed to, and then you tell me about what I'm missing in this. I got that we can understand the clinical trials that are more likely never to enroll. So basically, a part is broken, and we can figure that out early, perhaps even before we start the Formula One racing car. Got that. I got second that we can predict how long it will take to enroll the site. So we can, in essence, predict where we're going to end up in the race as we're going or even before we start. That's excellent. This last one, area under the curve, you're going to have to give me a little bit more hints on what that means.
Absolutely. So this is your confidence interval that what you predict is going to happen actually happens. That's the easiest way to say it. If you think about weather for a second, weather says it's going to be sunny, and you wake up the next day, it's sunny. But the next day, it's rainy when they said it was going to be sunny. That means they were only 50% accurate. So what we're saying is that when we are doing area under the curve analysis, which is our confidence interval, that we have an 81% confidence in what we are predicting of this time or speed of patient enrollment, as well as how long the trial will take.
Got it. Okay. You got me up to speed, I think, on this one. And just to kind of recap what I understand this to be is that, okay, we can tell whether or not the car is going to crash. We can tell how long it's going to take us to finish the race. And by the way, we're really good at telling those things. We can tell those things with 81% accuracy, roughly.
Absolutely, Jeff. You summarized it accurately. I just want to drop into the technology for a second, because part of what we used to do, and we use products like SQL from Microsoft, and it would take about 5,000 lines of code to do this. In KX, we're doing this with 150 lines of code. So it takes the burden off of developers and coding. It makes it operationally efficient, and we're seeing strengthen the accuracy of what we're doing because we can process everything in real time. This is game changing for the life science industry. And we're all at our infancy with this. I want to be transparent about that. We've been able to do this in the past, but it was so laborious. It took so much time. Now we're experimenting with technologies that actually take processing time out of the equation. And we now can do this in real time and with less staff. Typically, you would need a team to manage this, where we're doing it with one or two people.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's a use case that I think that all of us can get behind that have to work with clinical trials. And certainly lower headcount is always appreciated. Are there other use cases you want to talk through before we go?
Yeah, there's two topics I'd like to talk through briefly. One is part of the predictive capabilities that we're examining allows you to identify risk to your trial ahead of time. And in our observations, and this is using the same use cases that I just spoke through, is that the human factor would say a study would be in trouble about a month before it actually got into trouble if humans were doing it. What we've seen in algorithms using artificial intelligence that can spot the same trouble spot 7 months earlier.
Wow.
There's no bias in data processing. The human wants the trial to be successful, and they keep trying. But if this problem is still going to happen, there's biasness to want to work on and make it happen. The data processing that we do through artificial intelligence doesn't have biasness, and it's neutral. It's Switzerland, as I call it. And it's actually able to predict and give additional time for other interventions, like let's change sites, let's actually get a few more sites so that you can actually intervene.
You know something bad is happening or going to happen 7 months in advance, not just 1 month in advance. And there are predictions on what you should do to fix it. The car is starting to shake and you know to bring it in and change it because it's a bad bearing.
Absolutely. We are now starting to see cause and effect. If we see problem coming, if we do this intervention, again, I'm not talking about patient safety. I'm talking about executing the trial that we can keep from hitting that trouble spot and keep the trial on time. And there's so many different other use cases, which gets to my second point. How do we actually look at patient selection or eligibility criteria? What is going to be the patient protocol of what they have to do? Will the patient be adherent to the protocol of a clinical trial? And even to the point that probably in the future, we will be able to predict drug efficacy even before we do the trial. So the opportunities that are ahead of us because of the richness of data that we have in life sciences, as well as these technology solutions that we're utilizing now, is going to open the door to many more discoveries in the coming years that are going to be really innovative, but also change the dynamics of how we deliver clinical trials, as well as how we deliver healthcare in general.
That's really interesting, because it's not telling you just, is your car going to get around the track? It's telling you how to make a new car. And that is truly exciting.
The door is open to these learning models where they learn and learn based on, think about cause and effect. If you bang your fist on the table too hard, your hand hurts. So it's learning, okay, stop banging your hand against the table. Well, if we give this medication to this patient when they have these types of lab results and this is what happens, the model can learn. And it can do it so much faster than is humanly possible because it can aggregate data from a complete health system, the whole state, or even the whole country.
Darren, this is exciting. I'm really excited to have had you on the Syneos Health podcast. Now you're convincing me I need to go learn a lot more about KX to see what I can apply it for my own customers. Darren Coleman, thanks so much for joining us on the Syneos Health podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
That's all for today's episode of the Syneos Health podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Stewart from Syneos Health Consulting. If you want to talk through a hard decision you're making at your life sciences company, you may email me at podcast@syneoshealth.com. For access to more future-focused, actionable life sciences insights, visit the Syneos Health Insights Hub at insightshub.health. Syneos Health, shortening the distance from lab to life.